Welcome to the Fabulous by Design podcast. I'm your host, Ivana Ivanik. This show inspires and empowers you to take the next step towards a life you can't stop thinking about. I am bringing in people from all over the world with authentic and inspiring stories. People who change their lives from good to better, from miserable to great, turn tragedy into hope, and start living their dream life on own terms. Grab your favorite note-taking device, lean back, and get inspired. I believe that everything you need to create a life of your dreams is already within you. Welcome to another amazing episode of the Fabulous by Design podcast. Today with me is Emily Jane. Emily Jane's mission is to show entrepreneurs that what you can achieve is limitless. She has left university in her early 20s to build a life she wanted. Tired of programs that leave you feeling the same? Rewire is Breathing Space's 12-week journey to unlock your true potential. Wouldn't it be incredible to experience transformation that awakens your most authentic self? No matter where you are on your journey of change, imagine being supported through your breath and connected to your purpose. Daily breathwork practices, deep release sessions, and targeted journaling, this is the work that changes everything. Ready to step into your power? Find the link to join Rewire in the show notes and get your 33% off as a thank you for being a valued member of this fabulous community. Hello, Emily. Welcome to the show. I will like to literally dive into the topic immediately and tap onto the recent post where you wrote, your level of success depends on your level of discomfort. What do we need to know about you and the level of your discomfort when you decided to drop university?
I love this question. So yeah, to reflect back from my post, your level of success you can achieve really does come down to how uncomfortable you're willing to get, right? Because all the things that you desire that aren't in your life right now are outside of your current comfort zone. And if you're not willing to get uncomfortable to go get those things, then you're never going to have those things. So when I was transitioning out of my studies, I was 22 years old and I had just spent 4 full years to get my bachelor's degree, and I was 6 months into my master's degree. So it was almost 5 full years of study that I had just committed myself to. And that was the only path that I had ever known for myself. You know, coming out of high school, it was always like, go to uni, get a degree, climb the corporate ladder type framing that I was positioned with. And so it was a very uncomfortable thing for me to come to terms with the idea that I didn't want to be on that path that I was on, especially after accumulating all of that debt, dedicating all that time and energy to the degree as well. So there was a lot that I had invested into that path. So it was a very uncomfortable thing to go, well, actually, I want to try something new. And there was also this level of fear as well that would come up because of the unknown, right? I was stepping into a world online that I had known nothing really about. I'd never experienced before. So it was an entirely different, you know, discomfort zone that I had never stepped into before. So there was a lot of discomfort that came up for me, and that, you know, there were big conversations I need to have with my family, with my boss, you know, with friends from my degree. So there was lots of like challenging things that I was facing outside of just making that decision. You know, then there was having to take those steps forward, which challenged me to stretch my comfort zone in so many different ways.
Okay, then I will now spoil a little bit. You started an online business because this is the vision you had of your life being different than just, I put it on the brackets, climbing a corporate ladder. This is not You said having those conversations that are uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. I believe that everything comes down to a conversation. Because as long as you are sitting with your thoughts alone, even if it's the most beautiful desire, your biggest dream, the biggest vision you can ever envision, as long as you are sitting with that alone, nothing ever will move, because there are so many steps, as you just now mentioned, that we need to take that are totally irrelevant to the subject where we want to go. But there is parents in your case as well, who were probably partly involved as well in a sponsorship of your university degree, as I can imagine. How did this conversation go?
Yeah, so with my mum, it was quite a simple conversation because, She was someone who's always been very supportive of me whenever I've come up with ideas and made decisions and all of that. Like, she's always had trust in me to, trust my judgment, essentially. It was more with my dad where I felt the biggest fear coming up and having those conversations, because I was living under his house at the time, living there rent-free because he was supporting me as I was going through, my studies. And I have as well a lot of, expectations I felt that I had on me from my dad in terms of career and creating success and, building that future for myself. So that was where I felt most intimidated when it came to speaking to my parents, was actually explaining to my dad, "Hey, Dad, like, this isn't the path I want to be on anymore. This is where I want to go instead." And hoping that he would have that same level of trust and faith in me that, I knew my mum would. But the conversations both ended up actually going really well. That, they both did have that trust in me. I think I've proven over the years that that trust should be placed in me, because I've always been a hardworking kid. I've always taken big action and put, my future first. And so they really did have that trust in me when I ended up sharing that with them. And that felt so good to be able to receive that support from them in particular.
Okay, so it was liberating in the end.
Very much so.
On a scale from 1 to 10, if 10 is literally, I was so scared, how scared were you to tell your father?
Oh, I'd say I was probably an 8 out of 10. An
Okay,
8 out of 10.
not too bad.
No, I was more scared to probably tell my boss,
Cool.
because that was I guess when it came to sharing it with my boss, I felt again this like pressure there that, like, for the past 2 years they had been like training me up to be like the graduate architect in the office, right? Like, I was 6 months from getting my master's, and so I was almost going to be able to be full-time working for them. And so they had been investing a lot of time and energy into really hand-holding me, walking me into the industry. And so I felt a lot of guilt around going and having that conversation and saying, "Hey, look, like, I want to try something else. I want to go in a different direction," because of how much time and energy they had invested into me.
I hear you. How did that go shortly? Was your
Again,
boss responsive and happy for you?
yeah, it went great once again. I mean, that's the beautiful thing, is that transition really showed me how supported I was from the people around me, and that really everyone could see my potential. And because of that, it was so easy for them to be able to support me with that decision that I was making.
I hear you because you came with a plan. I think often it's just that fear that literally holds us back from other people's opinions. Like they will have an opinion, which on one hand could be something that could discourage you at first when you hear it. But I think that the internal drive is often bigger to get over that first step of discouragement. However, even if people do not agree with you, I have sensed so often that they would still support you because you are part of their environment, part of their community. I don't think your boss was happy to leave you, like happy for himself, for his company, for his department, but I can imagine he was happy for you. So,
Yes.
number one, have that conversation. Don't shy off. I think this is something really important we have to have to get the people on board we need the most.
Yeah.
You said something before. You mentioned you spoke about your comfort zone and the discomfort, especially. And then you said the current discomfort that is so big. That would mean that discomfort shifts, discomfort changes. When were you comfortable with your decision? When did that shift into from discomfort of having to tell everybody to actually a liberating act of walking your path forward?
Yeah, I really feel like it was when I got out of my head and just started putting things into action, right? Like, I trusted myself. I trusted this direction I wanted to go in, because my intuition was really strongly pulling me in that direction. And so I just took myself out of my head and started putting things into play. And then once I started taking that action, all of a sudden it started to become more comfortable, because I was doing less thinking about the fears and more just like rolling towards what it is that I actually wanted.
If you say fears, what were they?
There was a lot of fears that came up. I would say one was obviously, what if it doesn't work out? right? Like that's the big one of like, what if I invest my all into this thing? You know, invest my time, energy, and money into this, and it doesn't end up working out. What if I have to go back to the 9 to 5 job? How embarrassing would that be, having to ask my boss for the job back because, you know, it didn't go to plan? What if I had to go back to studies? They were like the biggest fears that were really coming up for me at that time.
Was it realistic that you would fail and that it would be embarrassing now, to go back to your boss and little Emily Jane comes back to beg for her position? This is how you would imagine it in the beginning.
Yeah.
It's very, it's scary. Now, in retrospect, was that realistic?
The thing with that is, right? Like, I like to look at the fears even now where I am in my journey. I like to look at them as just problems that need to be solved, right? So if I'm fearing, like, what if I have to go back and, you know, worst case is I've got to ask for my job back again, gonna actually look at that from a realistic perspective and say, well, is that actually worst case scenario? Is that actually, you know, the worst thing in the world? Or am I just making it out to be worse than what it is, right? In my own head. So when I look back on it, like, yeah, those fears, they really weren't anything, you know, that was should be terrifying or should stop me from taking action. But what I really did in that moment was use them as the driving force to actually propel me forward and to take more action and to make it work. So I really anchored into what was those, you know, scenarios that I didn't want to come into play. And I used that as my motivation to take the action and put the hustle into actually making things work.
I see you. Is this what you're saying, that even if you haven't 1000% believed in yourself, that you were able to teach yourself that you will be capable of taking the right action so you do not fail and you do not have to go back to your boss? Is this what you're saying?
Yeah, essentially. I mean, one big thing on that point in particular is I remember clearly that I would consciously choose to believe in myself. So even when those fears would come up, even when those doubts would come out, I would just choose and make that choice to be like, no, I can do this, right? And I think that's something that a lot of people don't realize is that, you know, confidence and belief in yourself or having the courage to pursue your goals is literally a choice, right? You can choose to believe that you can't have those things, you can't go after those things, or you can just choose to back yourself. And I know that sounds simple. Sometimes it's a little bit harder for other people to do, but I consciously kept on choosing in those moments to focus on what I needed to focus on in order to get the outcome that I wanted.
Absolutely. It is a little, I think I can imagine it can be for some harder or for some easier. I would never say it's easy to make these decisions, right? And I think where my hardship came from is that I personally did not see my opportunities at that time. I've been on an on and off corporate ladder for a decade, literally, right? Because I was trying myself, like I was failing, I was not believing, and I started again. But everything came from the perspective of how I was taught and how I grew up. For us, in my family, traveling wasn't a thing. So that was the not the opportunities I was taught. However, my desire was big because I've seen it on TV and I said, I want that too. So my belief was literally coming from far away that I had to, invest in myself and invest time to literally believe first before I take any action, because anything else was literally blurry. I was missing the clarity due to my lack of belief. And once I started believing that there is something beyond that I know, that I was taught, that I was told, my sky started clearing up. How was it for you? Did you have that clarity from day one, or was there, we always say no path is literally like, straightforward. We have to take our turns.
Well, I've always had an intentional focus on like priming my mindset and building my belief in myself. You know, across school, I was very intentional about backing myself and really allowing myself permission to dream big about what I wanted for my life. So when I started to get this intuitive pull to explore this new direction, when I was creating that vision, I did really believe that I could have and I could hold that. And so that belief was then strengthened through the action taking that I, was putting into play. But yes, I was able to see the potential of what I could have for myself. But again, that was because of my upbringing. That was because of the kinds of people that were around me, the environments that I was in, the opportunities that I was stepping into, how I was stretching my comfort zone between those really important ages of, schooling, like high school and primary school, right? So yeah, I would say that played a massive role then when I made this transition and started to explore the online space in actually seeing the potential of what could be possible for me.
How would you go about if someone has not that belief yet because of upbringing, perhaps because of failure in the past? What would be your number one tip to start over again or to just start in first place?
I mean, the first thing I want to touch on is that failure point, right? Like, if you've experienced failures in the past and you're now allowing those failures to be reasons why you can't have that thing you want, what you really need to do is reframe how you're viewing failure, because failure is only failure if you don't learn from it, right? But if there's a lesson that comes from it, if you can look for the teachings in that experience, then you're actually gaining wisdom. And that wisdom is setting you up to be more successful in those things that you then go after next. So you've actually, gain belief that you can do the thing based off the failures that you have had. So that would be the first thing, is really reframing how you're actually viewing failure and seeing it as a teacher rather than something that is, evidence of why you can't have what it is that you want in life. The other thing I would say is, if you're really like at square one and you're finding that you're really limited by those stories that are coming up in your mind about why you can't have the thing, maybe you feel like you're not worthy enough, or maybe it's something else, then what I want you to do is develop a lot of awareness around what those thoughts actually are. Awareness is so powerful. So if you can actually get clear on what are those stories you're telling yourself, what's that specific language you are speaking to yourself, those very specific fears or limiting beliefs you have, once you've labeled them, once you've identified them, then we can start to counter argue them. And instead of justifying why those fears and why those doubts are the truth, let's justify why the opposite is going to be your new truth.
I hear you. I'm going to share now one of mine back then when I started over. That was not even a long time ago, 2018. I was walking on the boulevard. I made my first dream come true to live by the sea. That has been something I always wanted, and I knew what it would cost me. I would have had to leave my friends and family, but I knew the consequences, and I made a conscious choice to go, to leave the country, basically to leave the place where I was told that I can't. So I went to another place, right, to detach myself from that. And I'm walking on this boulevard with my short shorts. It was a tank top. And I looked down on myself and looking at those pink rubber flip-flops. And my first thought that came in my head was like, how are you even supposed to be successful with these pink rubber flip-flops? Like, if there would be a tech to success, right? Again, from what I heard and what I thought is success, that it was a certain type of clothing, whatever it was, that was a quite a big thing that I had to let go of the thought that in my flip-flops, which I'm by the way wearing until now, they just changed color, are not a significant sign of where I'm gonna end up on my path, right? On my business journey in life, et cetera. What was one of your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, well, even just to bounce back off that story that you've shared and relating this back to when I was in the architecture firm, we had some really wealthy clients coming through the firm, right? Because, they're the ones that are coming and getting their own mansions designed. And what we actually noticed was that the wealthiest people that came through the architecture firm actually dressed the daggiest. They dressed in their flip-flops. They just dressed in casual shorts and casual shirts, right? And that was because they had nothing to prove. They weren't trying to prove any to anyone how much money they had, because they didn't care about that element of significance. And it was the people who actually had less money who came in and tried to prove their worth to us by dressing up, all glamorously and in all the bells and whistles. So it's really interesting that, right? Because here you are feeling like, I can't be successful because I wear flip-flops. But yet, like, the most wealthiest people often don't really care about showing their wealth through what they're wearing. And I feel like that's just a thing that what society does, where they want to buy the material things, have the designer bags, have the expensive jewelry, wear the expensive clothes and shoes to try to show other people that they are wealthy. And that, in a sense, is just trying to feel that void within them that is potentially them not feeling good enough. So for me personally, I'm like yourself, where I wear the flip-flops. I have Crocs, actually. They're my everyday shoe that I wear. And I guess there have been moments where I have thought to myself as well that I need to change the way I dress in order to feel successful. But it's not the clothing that you need to change, right? And that comes back to this whole perception of professionalism and professionals dressing or looking a certain way. What it is you need to focus on changing is your behaviors and your traits, because your behaviors and your traits are the things that are going to drive your success, not the clothes that you wear.
Yes, I couldn't agree more with this. This is so on point. And I think, as well as knowing your worth from a space of not having to prove yourself is quite a thing, especially in the beginning when people disagree with you, whether this is family, whether this is a boss who tells you that you could have such a great career with us, whether these are friends. Have you ever had the urge to explain yourself to others? And if so, how did you go about that?
Yes, I feel that is only normal, only human, especially, when there's people around you that, you really love and you really respect, and they don't understand what you're doing, and then that need to explain yourself comes up. But something that I'm learning to do is, rather than explain to people through words, explain to them through actions. And the reality is that a lot of the time, people aren't going to fully understand what it is you're doing if they're not in that space, and they're not going to fully understand the vision that you can see if they're not dreaming that big for themselves. And so you can talk all the words, but someone might not understand, for still fully grasp what it is that you're sharing. So for me, when I find myself feeling that resistance around needing to explain myself for someone, instead, what I do is I take a step back and I go, okay, how can I show this through my actions? How can I put my head down and bring what I'm trying to explain to life so they can visually see for themselves what it is that I can see in my mind?
Love that. I was just sitting before in the sun reading a book, and I came across a quote that said something in the direction of, no matter the race, no matter our gender identity, no matter where we are from geographically, right? What really connects humanity, no matter where you come from, is the search for a meaning in life. How did you create for yourself that more meaningful life that you were so much looking for when you decided to drop out of uni?
It really came about quite unconsciously for me, like unintentionally, I should say. Because it's not like I was, intentionally searching across my uni degree for something else. Like, I thought that architecture was the path that I was going to be on, but I was saying yes to opportunities that were coming up all around me. I was saying yes to starting a t-shirt brand with one of my friends from university to like dabble in what it would be like to be business owners. Then I was saying yes to network marketing to give that a try when I saw that that was, something that was beginning to boom in the online space. And then I said yes to starting my own podcast, which is the Empower With Them podcast. That was actually the thing that then became the catalyst for me starting my coaching journey. So really, for me, it was about just saying yes to opportunities, and then slowly and unconsciously, those opportunities were aligning me with a greater mission, a greater purpose, which then became clear to me the more and more and more I said yes to things.
I love this. Are you already there? Are you there yet?
I feel like right now, and for the past 3 years, I have been living my purpose, but my purpose, I feel, is something that is always changing. So right now, I'm living my purpose through helping entrepreneurs build these beautiful and abundant businesses so they can leave their 9 to 5 as well. But in the next 5 years, like, that purpose could be entirely different, when I'm ready to get married and have kids and see where, the opportunities that I'm saying yes to take me at that point.
I love your pointing out that these things can change.
Yeah.
And dear listener, if you're just listening to this and you find this valuable, leave us a comment on Spotify, a review on Apple Podcast, share it with a friend who needs to hear this. We are here. We are sharing these stories with a purpose of inspiring you, of having you see opportunities you probably never considered before. And if you can gain only a little bit from this conversation, I'm happy to serve more. And before we round up this conversation, Emily, I would like to know from you, what do people misunderstand the most about you?
Oh, I would say when it comes to like my personal friends in my like social circle that are separate from this like entrepreneurial and spiritual space that I'm on, I feel like what is misunderstood most is my emotions, because I can be a very emotional person where I have like big highs and big lows. And I feel like those emotions that I experience just come from me being so connected to the energy around me and being so empathetic to other people. And I feel like that can sometimes be misunderstood as, being too soft because I have these emotions that do express themselves. But really, it's about me being so connected to, energy and the spirituality and the people that are around me that those emotions do surface. So that was an interesting question that you asked there, and one that I've never been asked before, but that's what I feel drawn to share on that.
Thank you for sharing it. How do you, based on your emotional drive, based on that empathy, based on who you are today, how are you choosing your circles today?
I actually like to have a mix of circles. I like to have, I like to make sure that everyone within those circles are really aligned with my values. So, they have the same values for healthy living, for success, for having quality relationships. They have to be a certain type of person that has, that depth of care for one another and is giving and wants to help and serve. But I like those circles to still have variety. So I've got, my everyday friendship circle, which are some of the closest people in my life, but they're also not so heavily into the business space or the spiritual space. So I find that that's a nice circle to go to for fun and to switch off and to get out of like, the hustle and bustle of business. Whereas then I have another circle of like really empowering boss women who are like all in this journey as well, all deeply into spirituality as well, which is where I can go and get like, go down those rabbit holes with the spiritual and business conversations. So I like to have variety in my circles because it helps to, shift between the energies when I want to switch off and when I want to just, relax and wind down versus when I'm looking for inspiration or motivation in business, I know where I can go for each of these things.
Thank you for sharing. What I'm taking away from this is that it is okay to choose the circle accordingly to the support we need in different areas of life and different phases in life.
Completely. And I think that you should have various types of circles of support and different types of people that you can lean on, right? Because there's so many different things that you'll go through in life, and certain people are going to resonate better and be able to support you better with those different things as well. So that's why I do enjoy having that variety, because I know no matter what the challenge is that comes up, whether it's something to do with a car, something to do with, my own emotions or my business, I can always find someone that I can lean on for the support I need.
I loved it for you. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom with us, Emily.
Thank you so much. I've really enjoyed this conversation today.